Hi. For some of you who do not know me, I am Mike Glenn. I'm a senior pastor of Brentwood Baptist Church. I've been here August, will be 30 years. I came when I was just out of high school. Yeah. Maddie Morris had not been born when I became pastor here. So if that gives you some kind of context. Of that, but it's been a great ride. Part of that ride has been being part of Kairos. I did the teaching for the first 11 years, began to understand that the Lord is leading me out of this stage of the ministry and to make way for Chris Brooks. And so 5 years ago, Chris came on our staff and has been leading Kairos ever since. We at Brentwood Baptist Church consider Acts 13, 1 through 4 to be our kind of theme verse. In that we want to be the church that God calls people from. We want to be the church that runs members off. We want to be a church where, yes, you come to know Christ, you're part of the fellowship, you are grown up in the faith, you're able to defend the faith, give word to the worldview and the understanding of God and life and what's valuable and what's purposeful. And all of that, and we want you to understand your gifts, how you are wired, for what purposes you are called, and we want you trained and then released to those purposes to make a difference in the kingdom. Okay? When that happens, then you come back to worship, celebrating what you have seen God do in the past, anticipating what God will do in the future. Okay? Most time when people come to worship, they walk in, sit down, fold their arms, look up the stages, they do something. Okay? You should be coming into the worship service with your own joy, looking for a framework to celebrate. That's what we want to happen. We want you to know who Jesus Christ is, not know about him. That's different. We're not studying to be really good at Jeopardy. Okay, Jesus for 500. We want you to have a before and after moment. This is who I was before Christ. This is where I met Christ. This is where Christ found me. It always makes me a little nervous when people say, I found Jesus. Jesus wasn't lost. You were lost. Jesus found you. The good news of the gospel is not that you can get to God. The good news of the gospel is that God in Christ has come to us. He found us. This is where I was when he found me. This is what happened. This is what changed. This is who I began to understand who I am. This is what I'm called to do. I'm training and then released to do that. That's what we want to happen in your life. Now, all of you have gifts. Okay? Biblical teaching is all of you have gifts. Some of you are going, well, I don't know, Mike. I don't think I have any gifts. That's a clear false teaching in the scripture. All God's people have gifts. Now, none of us have all the gifts. And the reason is we are to need each other. We are to work together. There is something about the diversity of God's people working together that makes known the glory of God in a way that one person or one people cannot do. It takes all kind of people. You know what the number one fear for most people is? Number one fear. Speaking in public. It outranks dying. Did you know that? It does. Which means, if I came to you and said, we're going to need you to do the sermon tonight, most of you would rather die than do what I do. Okay? When we started letting our other pastors do a lot of the preaching, we let Chris Brooks fill in on Sunday morning. One of the old retired preachers said, Mike, you need to come and sit on the front row so the church can see you supporting these young pastors. And I looked at him, I said, if I get up and shave, I put on my coat and tie and I walk in this building, I'm preaching. I don't care. I'm preaching. And that's the way I'm wired. Now, I don't have all the gifts. One of my best friends is a guy named Leon Drennan. He came and helped us do the business part of the church. He put the structure in our church. He stood in front of the church when we were making all the motions to change the way we did all of our decisions. And this is literally what Leon said. And remember, this is my friend. "We know Mike," he said. "We love Mike. When he's dealing with the scripture, when he's preaching or teaching, there is nobody better. When it comes to administration, he sucks. You know that." And the whole church is out there going, "Yeah, yeah, that makes sense." He said, "We need to put it together, a system where we protect Mike, where we put him where he's studying to preach and teach, and he doesn't fool with any of this other stuff." And the church went, "We were good with that." I was sitting right there. It's okay to say, you know, "I have this gift. I think I can do this." It's okay to say, you know, "I don't have this gift," because you will have relieved everybody in the room of the obligation for telling you, "You suck at this. You don't need to do this." So it's always an honor when you come to us, because we're called to be a steward of your life. We're called to kind of look at you and study you and kind of help you tease out those gifts, put you in a place of watching those gifts thrive. And nothing excites us more of watching you catch hold of who you are in Christ Jesus and watching you grab hold of what you do and watching you soar. So 11 years ago, 11 years after being leader at Kairos, 5 years ago or so, I began to sense that God was moving me out of Kairos. Interesting, but I knew it was the right thing to do. So we began to prepare the place for the next person. And that next person happened to be Chris Brooks. And 5 years ago, we brought Chris on staff. And since then, he's been the Kairos leader. We've had the privilege of working with him, walking with him, learning from him, teaching him, arguing with him, wrestling with him, laughing with him, crying with him, getting to know his heart and his soul and his mind, even as you did. When he began to sense, when all of us began to sense that God was doing something different in Chris's life, that there was going to be a next phase. One, it didn't surprise us. We knew this was coming. Two, we hated it. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to like God's will. It says you have to obey it, okay. But there's nothing in there that says you have to like it. And I have gone on the record more than once in my prayer time going, "Hey, I see what you're doing. For the record, I don't like it." It made a big impression on God when I did that. Because, see, we saw the coming together of a lot of different streams. One, the way that Chris is wired. Okay? Chris is constantly in trouble around here. If it weren't for Stephanie, he'd be in more trouble. But Stephanie gets his reports in on time. He gets his all of his stuff filled out, so all of the administrative machinery is satisfied. On more than one occasion, he's walked in my office going, "I'm choking to death with all this stuff. You guys are strangling me." Yes, we know. We know you hate it. But one, it's a skill you need to learn. And we know God has something else. I don't have a hobby. You know, I don't play golf. I don't do that. Church is what I do, okay? I'm reading about church. I'm thinking about church. And so when I started reading about church buildings being sold, have y'all seen this? Churches being sold breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. I'm a sucker for sacred space. It's being sold by a group of people who are sure no one will come. That's why they're selling the church. Nobody will come here anymore. It's being bought by a group of people who are sure somebody will come if there's something different in the building. Well, why can't we be what's different in the building? So we started doing the repurposing, going to a congregation and say, you can still do church here. It's going to look a little different. Bring in a new pastor and a new staff and kind of let him get hold of the community. And now we have the 8 campuses and we hope to be adding more. Part of that future, I told the church several years ago, I said, let me tell you the future. It's not unusual for me to tell staff to take the Sunday off, spend the time in your neighborhood, and find out what your neighbors are doing. Jay Strother and Aaron Bryant did that several years ago, and they came back, and I said, well, what did you learn? And they said, whatever church building we build in the future is going to have a dog park. Because everybody walks their dog on Sunday morning. Now, here's the funny part of that story. Lachlan Springs, East Nashville. All right? David Hanna moves the service out to the front porch of that church on the front steps. They start singing. People are walking by. People stop, join the service. David gets up to preach, looks out, and the whole back row is dogs. Where people have been walking, stop. Part of the service. It's not going to be unusual. I told the church for one of you to come up and say, listen, you remember when you told us to stay home, find out what our neighbors were doing? Yeah. Well, I met my neighbors. They were coming home for brunch. They were walking their dogs. They were playing with the kids. And we got to talking there in the cul-de-sac. And I mentioned something about a Bible study. And you know, Mike, they really want a Bible study. They like that idea. And so I asked him, well, when are y'all free? And they said, you know, we're not doing anything on Sunday morning. And now I have 20 or 25 people in my home on Sunday morning. We're doing the Bible study. Now, the old Mike would have said, let me come over to your house and help all those people find the church building. Right? Because the way I get famous is have a lot of people in the building. New Mike says this. I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm going to start training you because obviously God has called you to pastor those people who are gathering in your home. I had no idea anybody was listening. Chris Brooks was. Now you know and I know. There are friends that you have who will never come to a church. They've been hurt by the church. They've been betrayed by the church. They're angry at the church. Good, bad, it doesn't matter. They're never going to the church. They'll go to Chris Brooks's house. There are people moving here from all over the United States. The only thing they know about Baptists is what they've read in the popular press. It scares them to death. They drive by this church building, they're afraid their car will break down, and they'll have to pull over in the parking lot, and they'll never be seen again. They freak out. They won't come here. They will go to Chris's house. Now, house churches are nothing new. You know, everybody's going, hey, man, I heard you doing that new thing about the new house church. We've been doing house churches for a couple of thousand years. Read your New Testament. You'll see a phrase that says something about Paul was teaching in the house of, and he prayed for the house of, or the house of so-and-so sends you prayers. The house of, that's it, house church. We've been doing this a couple of thousand years. And there's always a time when the church needs to refocus, recenter, and to get back to what really matters, that God will take us back to our homes. And in those primary relationships, life on life, people who did not know they were looking for Jesus will be found by him. And then there'll be too many people in Chris's house. And he'll send somebody off out of his house. And when you send them off, Chris, it will break your heart. Because you would have loved these people, you would have walked with them, and now you've got to let them go and grow up and watch them grow up. Yeah, it'll break your heart. And what will break your heart more is how well they do without you. Because you're just, you know, when I left Kairos, friends of mine said, man, how did Kairos do? You're the one that started the thing. I said, you remember when you took your kid to first grade? And your heart's just all full. You want to say something profound to your kid. And you pull up in front of the school and your kid goes, bye, Dad. I said, that's exactly what Kairos did. Bye, Dad. Gone. Okay? Breaks your heart. Well, that's what it is. Did you see out of the five leaders, God called for 20% of that leadership. And he called the two strongest leaders. Barnabas was the ringleader. Barnabas had called Paul to come teach. And it was Saul who got Star Billy. Did you see that? All the five are listed, and the last one listed is Saul. That's the big drum roll, all right? That's the big name that comes up, and also starring Saul. He was the draw. He was the teacher. Now he's off on a ministry journey. There's grief in that. There's celebration in that. We've been talking with Chris about this, through this, around this, for the better part of a year or so, maybe. It breaks our heart. Because anytime God calls somebody away, I have a list of people that I wish God would call. People that would help my church if they were called away. You weren't on that list. Had plans, had dreams, had thoughts. God had plans too. I was trumped in that meeting. Now I want to tell you, on behalf of the leadership of Brentwood Baptist Church, we are prayerfully convinced that this is God's will for Chris's life. The way he's wired, the way he's put together, his story, the story of his marriage, the story of he and Audrey's relationship, some of the ways that that door has been affirmed over the last year. Now, did you see the story? A prophet stood up. One of the leaders said, hey, here is what God is saying. The church then confirmed that. Now, Chris has been part of your life, and you have been part of his life. But do you now believe it is God's will for Chris to start this house church ministry? Do you affirm that? If you do, would you show Chris and Audrey that by standing? Hate it. I really do. But we are eager to see what the Lord will do and the lives that will be changed because of the way you're wired and the time you now have and the opportunity that the Lord is opening. We can't wait to hear those stories. Pray with us. Lord Jesus, how grateful we are for Chris and Aubrey. How grateful we are that you have allowed them to be part of our lives. We pray that we have been good stewards with them. And we have grown them to the place where you trust them now with a greater task. So use us now to bless, encourage, surround Chris and Aubrey as they start this ministry. and how eager we will be to hear the stories that come from it. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, some of you have asked, don't cut me off. Sit down. I am the senior pastor here. I do have some pull. Some of you have asked about supporting Chris and his church. We want you to be able to do that. We have permission tonight for all of the gifts of Kairos to go to support this new church work. Here's how you have to do it. You have to make it out to Brentwood Baptist Church. Brentwood Baptist Church then gifts that ministry, you know, that money to the ministry of Chris's church. If you make it out to Chris, then that fouls his taxes up like you wouldn't believe. Okay? All right? You follow me? Brentwood Baptist Church, and where it says four or whatever in that line, you say Chris Brooks Church. And that way, we will make sure all of that money gets to support Chris, because I know some of you are eager to do that, and we want you to do that tonight. Okay? Now you can turn me off.
Where do I look?
Camera is right here.
Surprise, Kairos.
Is that thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do we look?
That's eye contact. To the right of my camera, the eye contact to the left of my camera. This is just straight ahead looking at me.
Chris, what a gift that we have gotten to do life and ministry together for the last 10 years. I'm so grateful for the ways that you create spiritual family no matter where you go.
Pastor Chris, in sermon and in example, you show me what it means to be a true pastor of your people and what it means to be a true follower of Christ.
Chris, thank you for teaching me how to welcome my wounds and sit in the suck, because in seasons of hardship is where we find healing.
Hey Chris, I'm thankful for the humble and authentic leader that you are.
Chris, thank you so much for all of the joy that you have brought to our office these past 5 years.
Absolutely. We're going to miss seeing you on a daily basis and miss all the laughter and all the fun.
Chris, you're both pastor and poet, and I will forever be grateful for the way that you take the Word of God and translate it into the language of my soul. I love you, buddy. I'm grateful for you. And really, all there is left to say now is, decent.
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 Kairos is a place where it is our unique and honest attempt to connect to God and connect to each other. And God has called our family here, and I'm excited to be your pastor, and I'm willing to leverage my life, and our staff is willing to leverage everything that we have at our disposal to make this an incredible place that focuses on the Word of God, the will of God, and the works of God.
Bless the Lord, 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 bless His holy name. I don't know about you, but God thought heaven was so good, He didn't wait to give it to you. In fact, Scripture says the Holy Spirit's been given to you as a deposit of things to come. The Holy Spirit's just a down payment. I can't wait to see the house. Psalm 70 says, but I will hope in you and I will praise you more and more. Why? Because you satisfy me with good things. Even in the winter of our discontentment, spring has sprung. And that if you can hear the voice of your Savior singing over your life, you are loved and you are altogether lovely. Secret's out. The kingdom of God is in you. The question now is, how do we get it out of you so that your light shines in the way that you look, the way that you act, and your attitude, and the way that you interact with everyone that you come into contact with? It's not just enough for us to learn about God. We need to live like Jesus. It's not just enough for us to raise our hands in worship. We need to outstretch them in service. And it's not enough for us just to listen to sermons, but we need to get to the place where we realize our lives live will be the greatest and most powerful sermon anyone will ever hear.
We don't trust in our chariots or our horses, our work ethic, or our bank account, or our degrees. We trust in the Lord our God. And I just want to remind you tonight from the power and authority of God's word that hope has answered us, and that hope is answering us. So now as we read your word, would you breathe life in us? Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? Jesus, would you go before us in this text and make a way? And together we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening.
Kairos, would you help me say thank you to Chris and Audrey Brooks?
We want to pray over them, so we remain standing. You know how we do this. If you'll stick your hand out as if you were laying it on them, and so we can pray together. Your word tells us that before Chris was born, you had a plan. Who he would be and what he would do and how he would do it. You made him unique. You made him one of a kind. We pray. We have honored your trust in us and prepared him well for this next season of his ministry. We pray that you would protect him, protect his heart, protect his mind, protect his physical health, protect his marriage, protect Aubrey, protect the children, weld them all together in a way that only your spirit can. While we are sad that for this season our paths will part, we know that somewhere somebody is praying. They might not even know they're praying. They just may be sighing about how wrecked their life is, about how confused they are, about how they can't ever get it together, about how lost they feel. And on your divine calendar, there is an appointment when this person will turn around and meet Chris, and a conversation will start, and this person will be invited into Chris's home and hear the story of your love, and this person who was lost will be found. Someone will meet Aubrey, and the conversation will start, and the one who could not see will see. We know you have never stopped seeking those who are lost. And that's why you're sending Chris and Aubrey out now. And so we pray for all of the stories of life change that we will hear, and give you thanks in advance for those moments. And for those of us who are standing here watching this, give us the courage to ask what you would do with us. And give us the courage to say yes, however you would answer that.